This is episode 150 on February 18th, 2016.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I am Matt Hoffman.
Welcome back, Matt. How are you doing?
I am wonderfully fantastic.
Cool. What you been up to? How was your week?
Week was actually pretty good. Did a short little mini vacation of sorts in Pittsburgh for a few days.
Sweet.
And went out and explored after work a couple days this week, looking for things to photograph in locations that I was previously unaware of. So it's been a good, productive week.
Nice. Yeah, I was busy with kids. Our kids were sick, but I've been taking pictures of my Jeep.
Yes, so I've noticed.
Mark says if I take one more picture, then I have to count it as a... what's it called?
A dependent.
Dependent. Thank you. Jeez. So.
And I actually, I thought that was funny, but I don't really see it that way. Your Jeep is pretty sweet, but to be honest with you, I'd like to see pictures of it in places other than your driveway.
Exactly. tomorrow I'm going to... take my son to the Lego, I guess it Lego fair or convention that's in Charlotte. So I'm hoping to get some cool shots of some pretty neat Legos. He's excited. I told him yesterday because he says, "Daddy, when are we going to do something fun?" I'm like, I'm like, "Yeah, thanks, son." I said, "Well, we're going to go and play with some Legos with a bunch of other people." So I'm going to get some shots of that. He's going to be happy. He's going to be in hog heaven.
Yeah, that sounds cool, I think.
Oh, all right.
I'm not like a super big Lego guy. So unless Joseph really gets into them, I'm not that interested, I guess, in Legos.
Yeah, I was into it when I was a kid. I guess that was how I kind of got my creativity out, was playing with Legos, trying to build things. You know, there's building things with manuals and stuff like that. But when you're able to come up with a concept, have it in your head, and then take a bunch of blocks and other different parts and put it together, you can, you know, get some creativity out and do things that you haven't done before. I remember I guess it was the Short Circuit movie inspired me to try to build Johnny Five out of Legos. And I did a pretty good job with it. It was challenging, but it was a... I was proud of that. And not to go back to Jeeps, but I did build a Jeep with the Legos my kids have right now, with no directions or anything like that. So I think it'll be good. Joseph may, you know, get his engineering skills with some Legos.
Yeah, definitely. It's probably evident to most people that know me that I didn't spend a whole lot of time with Legos as a kid. My engineering skills are not up to snuff.
Oh, yeah. It's fun. My son is at the point now where he's building them by himself. So sniff, but, you know, he's five and he's, you know, putting stuff together that, you know, it says eight and up or whatever, but
yeah,
you know, he's doing really good with that.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, all right. we have an interesting show for you guys today. I thought we can go ahead and let's just go ahead and jump into our focus point.
Focus point.
All right. So this is sort of an interesting topic that we're going to get into. And I guess we're going to call it situational awareness. One of our listeners posted in the Facebook group today that he took a fall, and it sounded very serious. Nigel O'Connell had posted, here, let me read his post. He says, firstly, apologize if anyone feels this is not appropriate. It's appropriate. Don't worry about it. For the group. But after listening to the lad's latest podcast, I feel I must tell. I decided to take some time off work for a break last Sunday night. I decided to drive into Wales to photograph some waterfalls. On the Monday, my wife was working and brother-in-law was going off to Australia, so I decided to go on my own. He said, to cut this short, long story short, he got there early before the crowds turned up, as tiny shutters do. I photographed my first fall and was walking high up along the river to the next one when somehow I slipped and fell down a 30-foot bank to the river edge. Ouch. 30 feet. When I woke, I did not know where I was or could not see due to the blood from my head. It was only by the grace of God another man had the same idea to come early with his camera, and he saw and called out to me. We walked an hour back to his car and got me to the hospital, where I spent two nights having treatment, including 25 metal strokes in my head. I'm not writing he's writing this from home now, recovering. He says, I've tried not to be too graphic, but please do not make my mistake I made. We all feel we will be fine on our own and nothing will happen to ourselves, but it can and will if not careful. Whether it be a waterfall walk or a visit to a derelict house, Matt. Don't take risks. It's just not worth it for the safe that.
I think he meant to write sake.
Yeah, sake of captured image. Take care and safe, happy, tiny shuddering. God bless. He said, gosh, wow. I saw that this morning, and I have to say, Nigel, I am so glad that you are okay. This is actually becoming more and more of a issue with photography. Is photographers, or, you know, those that take a lot of pictures are getting hurt and or dying. So I thought this would be a good topic to discuss, especially in light of our, you know, listener, who it could have been much worse. So Matt, what are your thoughts? After reading this, what was the first thing that you thought?
Well, first of all, wow, what a story. And, you know, I'm very thankful that, you know, he's going to be okay. And, you know, it's just one of them things that kind of gives you pause, because, you know, I photograph by myself all the time.
Yeah.
And, it's kind of one of the reasons why I kind of call out on this podcast from time to time, like, hey, you know, if there's anybody in Ohio that wants to get together and take pictures, and I've been fortunate to actually make some some contacts and acquaintances here in the short time that I've been living here so far. But, you know, I don't always want to be confined to, you know, trying to work out a schedule with somebody else. You know,
right.
I feel like, you know, I'm married, I have a kid, we've got a lot of stuff going on. So the time that I can get, I don't want to add another element to it and be like, well, you know, I'm technically free, but nobody else can go with me, so I'm not going to go. Like, I don't have those thoughts really. But I know that I should, like, you know, a lot of the photography I do, landscapes and stuff like that, I put myself in the same kind of situations that Nigel was in, you know, where he's on a steep bank and somewhere where it's rocky and slippery and stuff like that. So, you know, definitely I could certainly be more careful, and I think we all could.
Absolutely. It's, you know, it's not something you think about when you go out to photograph. You don't think of ending up in the hospital. You don't think of the hazards. Now, there's situational hazards that you know are usually being careful of, but it makes me think of the times when, say, you're not photographing and you go out on a hike, or you go somewhere, and the first thing I always think of, okay, who knows if I'm out here? You know, one of the things you need to do is make sure that somebody knows where you're going to be in case you don't show up. And then also, you know, if you're heading out into the wilderness, are you going to have the protection needed, say, whether from the elements, or are you going to have water with you so you don't dehydrate? I mean, there's many times you see stories. I think there was a couple from France that went to Arizona to the desert, and they ended up dying out in the wilderness because they didn't realize, even though it was autumn, you know, the winds, the dry winds, the heat dehydrated them. They actually were succumbed by the elements. And so you have to think about those types of things. You have to make sure that you're taking precautions. Are you going to take those risks to get the shot? Is it worth it? Are you aware of your surroundings? You could, you know, you may not be on a cliff, but you could be near a highway or train tracks. Are you putting yourself in a situation where you can't escape? I'm always photographing for work by a highway or a road, and I have to make sure that I don't step out into traffic. It's an occupational hazard, but also I need to be aware of my surroundings. Am I going to walk up on an unsuspected dog? Am I going to fall into a hole that may be under a bunch of leaves? You have to look where you're going. You have to make sure that you're not going to get hurt. And if you do, will somebody know where you are?
Yeah, definitely. And that's definitely another challenge, especially for me, is that, you know, I don't typically stay in one place.
Yeah.
You know, so like in Arizona, when I lived out there, and in New Hampshire, if I was going out like on a hike or kayaking or something, I could at least say the area that I would be in.
Right.
But here, a lot of my adventures are more like car based. So I could be in a region, you know, and it's like, how do you send a search party out? You know, like, well, he went to Southeast Ohio. you know, and it's right. kind of like, well, you know, but yeah, I mean, Nigel's lucky, definitely, that somebody came along, because, you know, otherwise, who knows how long he could have been laying there.
Right.
And, you know, definitely it's one of them things where even though, you know, his wife and his brother-in-law were out of town or you know, I think his wife was at work or whatever. You know, I'm sure in hindsight now he realizes that, you know, he could have left a note for his wife or maybe texted her to say where he was going. So in the worst case scenario, had nobody come upon him, you know, at least later in the day, his wife would have known, you know, hey, something's not right.
Yeah.
You know, he's not back. You know, he said he was going to this river, to this area to photograph waterfalls. I better go look for him, or, you know, call the appropriate people to go and look for him. So I actually rambled a little too much there, so I forget what my point was. But
oh, that's okay.
Yeah, I guess what I was going to say is I've just been lucky that I've spent a lot of time in the outdoors, so I have a pretty good understanding of like how to prepare and what I should do, and some of the activities that I've gotten into in the last few years, like kayaking and stuff, they're a little bit more serious. You know, the consequences of right. something going wrong are pretty serious. So like leaving in kayaking, they call it a float plan, but you know, leaving that information with, you know, whoever, your husband or your wife or a friend, that's all just really critical to, you know, adding a little bit of element of safety. And sometimes they even go so far as to have it written up and it's sitting on the dashboard of my car.
Right.
You know, so if I don't show up, you know, I'm it's likely that my car would be one of the first things that, to be found. So
absolutely,
you know, that information is readily available then.
No, that's good for any type situation, whether you're hiking or you're out on a lake, or even at the mall. No, I'm just kidding. when Nigel posted this, there's a photographer, Canadian photographer, that came to mind when he posted this, and it was. David Duchemin, and he was in Italy doing, I think, a workshop, and he ended up falling a certain number of meters. I forget the number. He landed on his feet, but unfortunately, it shattered his ankles and the bones in his feet. He had to have reconstructive surgery, and he had to learn how to walk all over again. It's something that easily could have taken his life. And you know, he talked about it. It took him a while to talk about the accident. He had to be airlifted. I think flown somewhere, and then he had to spend time overseas recovering before he could actually get home. These are things that, you know, can change your life. And is it worth getting the shot? The other thing that's been in the news lately is the number of deaths from people taking selfies, the situational awareness or the risks that they take. Some of these young kids are going up to heights to get a shot and they end up falling. There's a lot of train deaths, deaths coming from, you know, blunt force trauma because they decided they were going to stick their heads out of the car and try to get a shot. You know, the things that you think of afterwards as it's not worth it. It's really not worth it because they just lost their life. For what? A selfie, a picture. We have to think of that also, is the shot worth it? 9 times, I would even say 10 times out of 10, it's not. Because your life is more valuable to your family and to yourself than an image. So always be careful. Always look at your situations and take account of the risks that are involved, and make sure that you're, you know, choosing safety over an image. And once you've assessed that it is safe, go for it by all means.
Yeah, definitely. Well, there seems to be a lot of craziness involving waterfalls too. I know I have a terrible track record with them. And starting back into my childhood, basically, when I was, I don't know how old, let's say like 11 or 12 years old, my parents used to take my brother and sisters and I to a national park down in Maryland. It was called, or it was actually a state park. It was called Cunningham Falls State Park. And it was right next to a small national park that we used to go hiking in. So we'd go hike in the national park, and then we would go over to the state park and go check out the waterfall. And it was this really big waterfall, but it kind of like cascaded down. It had several levels to it. And this one time we were there, and for some reason I felt compelled to start climbing around on this waterfall. And I slipped and I fell, and I just went tumbling down this waterfall.
Oh, wow.
And I had this relatively nice pair of binoculars at the time, because I was really into birds at the time. And they are just like smashing off every rock. And I remember people were like screaming and stuff because I'm kind of like ragdolling down this waterfall.
Oh, no.
And it turned out like I didn't really get hurt, and I like caught myself and I was able to get out. And like all my parents really thought to do was yell at me for making for making a scene or whatever. And then I ruined my nice binoculars. Like, it knocked the prisms out of place.
And then
when you look through them, you saw two of everything. And so that was, you know, kind of crazy. And it's something that always stuck with me. But apparently it didn't stick with me enough, because I would say about 13 years after that, let's say, I'm in Arizona. And I had just found out about this waterfall up in the mountains north of Phoenix a little ways, a 200-foot waterfall. And I'm like, oh, man, I got to go see this. So I drive up with a girl that I was dating at the time. And we go up and we check out this waterfall. And it turns out there really was like a 200-foot waterfall. But at the time when I got there, it was just like a trickle of water. And I'm like, oh, man, this really isn't going to show up in a picture. So I was looking for, you know, other pictures I could take, since I drove all this way. And there was a lot of like dirt road driving. It took like forever to get there. And so one of the pictures that I thought was cool is if you got in the creek bed at the top of the waterfall, you got this good view, like looking out over the lip of the waterfall, and you kind of were looking out over all the trees below. And it was like a mix of like pine trees and deciduous trees. And it must have been like in October or something when we were there, because the deciduous trees had all turned color. And I'm like, oh, that looks so cool. So I'm there with like my tripod and got the camera set up, and I'm in this creek bed, and it's like, it's not really like rocks. It's more just like solid rock, you know, and it's just worn smooth from, you know, millions of years of water running over it. And there was some, you know, there was some water in the creek bed, and it was running water. Well, somehow I slipped and I fell, and I landed like flat on my back, and I start sliding down this creek bed right towards the lip of the waterfall. And I got my my camera in my left hand, I think. No, it's probably in my right hand. And I'm sliding right towards the lip of the waterfall, and literally like 6 feet before the lip, I was able to catch myself with my feet. I was able to stick my feet against some protruding rocks and hold myself there till I could grab something with my hands and get myself out of there. And my, you know, of course, my girlfriend freaked out and she's yelling at me. Everyone yells at me. I'm about to fall off a waterfall. So, yeah, that was another even crazier experience, really, than the first one. And then, you know, I don't know if I really have learned my lesson or not. I still put myself in positions sometimes where it's quite questionable as to whether or not things are going to work out for me.
You know, it there's every aspect of life. It doesn't have to be photography related. We take risks. And sometimes we get comfortable with those risks. And for the most part, no, there isn't any adverse reactions or, you know, complications that come from it. But we have to remember that it just takes one small mistake and, you know, our lives or, you know, the people around us can, or their lives can be ruined. So, you know, whether it's photography, whether you're, you know, Dave mentioned he does running. He's always has to be aware when he's running at lunch to make sure that cars that are going to be coming by him are, you know, can see him. And, you know, in anything, you just need to be aware. Always have a plan. When you're in a situation or a place that is unfamiliar, like Matt said, you know, write a note out, leave it on your car, you know, tell your spouse or loved one or friends, you know, what you're doing and when they should expect you back, especially if you're going to be out in the wilderness or out on a lake or something like that. Oh, and try, if you can, to go with friends, because they're going to be your first response to a situation. And, you know, thankfully, Nigel had somebody who saw what happened and was able to help him. You know, things like this could be worse, and we're very thankful that Nigel is surviving and back home. So... cool.
Yes. Get well, Nigel. Rest up.
Yeah. All right. If you guys have any suggestions, let us know. You can email us at tinyshutter@gmail.com or go into Facebook and let us know what you do to keep safe or keep your family and friends informed when you go out to shoot. All right. Any other thoughts on this, Matt?
No. For some reason, it's got me itching for an adventure. I don't know why. That's probably not the appropriate response, but...
oh, I wish I could be up in the mountains. I really want to go to the mountains. All right. Well, speaking of adventures, Matt... we have a new medium that we're using for our photos.
Oh, to share them?
Yes. Why don't you go ahead and tell everybody what you've done and what you've been doing?
You make it sound like I've done something.
I know. Isn't that awesome?
Tell them what you've done. Are you sorry? Okay, so I'm not apologizing for this, but for those of you that listened last week or those of you that have visited the Tiny Shutter Facebook group, you know that I was gauging interest in a Tiny Shutter Flickr group, and actually regardless of the outcome of that interest, I was going to make the group, and so I went ahead and did that today.
Wait, what was the verdict on the
On the poll, yes. Actually, the yes, make the group won out. So
woohoo.
I did give it a week, like I said I would. And so today I made the group, and you can search it out. The URL for it is flickr.com/groups/tinyshutter.
Yep.
And it's actually the way Flickr works, it's a little different than Facebook, right? So like our Facebook group, you see our group and you want to join and you request to join and then we approve it. With the Flickr group, I actually need to send you an invitation.
Yeah.
It's a public group, so anybody can search it out and see it. And they'll be able to see the photos and see the discussions. If there's any discussion threads going on, they just wouldn't be able to participate because they're not in the group. But if you want to be in the group, I'm thinking probably the best thing to do would be to just post in our Facebook page that you'd like to be in the group. And if you could give me your like a link to your Flickr profile, that would be preferable. That just makes it easier for me to find you then in Flickr and send you the invitation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so it promises to be a pretty fun group. The nice thing about Flickr, for anyone that doesn't know, is that photos just look a lot better in Flickr than they do on Facebook. There's not as much like compression and stuff like that going on. So your photos are just going to look a lot nicer. And it'll kind of be like Facebook. We could have discussions. So if anyone has a question or wants to talk about an app or a technique or gear or whatever, we could have all those discussions on Flickr as well, which is pretty cool. The group is going to be – I'm going to try to keep it PG-ish. So I don't really want to do like a whole lot of censoring or anything like that. But, you know, just like our Instagram and just like our Facebook, you know, we're not going to really allow like pornographic images or any kind of similar type stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So keep it PG and everything will be fine. And even though the name of the group is the same as our Facebook group, it's iPhoneography, a tiny shutter group. You don't have to shoot with an iPhone. If you have a Android phone or a Windows phone or whatever, that's fine too. I just want to keep it smartphone related. So like no DSLR pictures or anything like that. And I will go through the pictures from time to time and
look up the metadata.
Yes. And see. So that will happen. And if I do see pictures that are not from a phone, I probably will have them removed.
There you go.
Yeah. But so the group, I just started it today. So, you know, there's not a whole lot happening in it yet. But the more people that join, the more quickly it'll become a thriving little community and just another place that we could get together and share our pictures and share our thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a great place for people who are not on Facebook to be able to congregate also. You know, we do have people that listen to the show that are not a part of our Facebook group, either because they haven't joined or there are people who do not have Facebook accounts. So this is a great opportunity to be able to interact with our community and be a part of the virtual camera club and show off your images and see what other people are doing. So if you actually look for us and follow our accounts, you can request to join. Can they request to join the group if they find it, or do we have to send add them, and then they can join.
Yeah, that's what makes it like slightly difficult, is that I actually have to send you an invitation.
You know what? I think I saw it says join group, and there was a spot to be able to click. If you can't find it, let us know, and we will add you to the group.
Yeah, the only reason it's set up that way is because otherwise the group is a completely public group where anyone can join the group, and I really don't have no oversight then. And I just feel like that would be a little too much work to kind of go through after the fact and make sure everybody's kind of up to snuff and everything. So if you reach out to me, wherever, it could be Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, however you want to reach out to me, and just let me know your Flickr information, and I could send you an invite.
Yeah, actually, James just said that he did it by he asked to join, and so now we can actually see. Does it show requests? That's the question.
Yeah, I've never created a group before, so this is all new to me. So you guys will have to just bear with me for a minute while I get this all figured out. But
yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yes.
All right. Well, cool. That's cool. I'm glad you did that. I think we're going to have a lot of fun with this. So.
I agree, and now it's. I've always liked Flickr, but I just don't, I'm not as active on it as I am like the other, you know, like Instagram and stuff like that. So this is a good excuse for me to get back into it.
Very cool. All right, let's switch gears and let's go into our post pick of the week. Post pick of the week. All right. So this last week, we decided to do light trails as our weekly photo challenge. And a challenge it is, because we had one person submit for the challenge. So we decided this week we're going to extend it for one more week. That gives you a chance to get out there. And in reality, I needed one more week also.
Yes, me too.
Sometimes there are easy challenges, and sometimes there are more difficult challenges, especially if life gets in the way. So we are going to extend the Light Trails weekly photo challenge for one more week. And hopefully we'll have more than one submission. So that means that since we don't, we haven't completed this weekly photo challenge, we're going to go to the well, and we're going to pick from our Instagram hashtag Tiny Shutter, and it is my week, so I'm going to go ahead and let's see here, where'd it go? I'm going to post this in the chat channel so that they can see it. Oops, that's the wrong one. Hold on. Yes, this is great radio. I know. All right, so I'm going to post this in the chat. Nope, didn't do it. Okay, I'll just go ahead and say. Okay, so the image was posted by, I'm going to probably butcher this, Polystyrene Man. Is that what you would say, Matt? Polystyrene Man.
Something to that effect, yes.
And it is an image of a, looks like wilderness. There's a tree without leaves sticking up in the horizon. There's in the foreground, there is a, looks like a makeshift wood pile. And in the background, there is some clouds with a lot of movement in them, and it looks really awesome. I love the scene. There's a lot of saturation with the colors. There's not only still, things that are in focus, but there's things that are out of focus because of motion. And I thought it was a really cool image. So do you have that image up in front of you, Matt?
I do.
What do you think?
I think it is a very good pick. Totally digging the movement of the clouds. I'd actually like to know, how he did that. If he had the phone on a tripod and used an app like a slow shutter cam type thing, or what the deal is, and then also how he processed it. I really like the transition from the deep blue sky to the golden yellow foreground. Really nice complementary colors. I think it really works well in this picture. It looks really cool.
Absolutely. A lot of greens and blues, and then looks like reddish brown for some of the plants or grass areas in the front. It's an awesome image. And I think, is that the sun sort of under the tree branch? Looks like it.
Yes. Yeah, I hope so.
Well, actually, I don't think it is, because the shadowing of the wood would place the sun behind him.
That doesn't mean he didn't add the sun after the fact. That's without true. Thinking about shadows.
Yeah.
I've made that mistake once or twice.
Well,
still looks cool.
Absolutely. Any which way is it's pretty cool. So congratulations, polystyrene man. You are our post pick of the week. If you want to be post pick of the week, normally we use our weekly photo challenge as a place where we pull it from. But in cases like this, we do pull from our Instagram well and choose images that we find either creative or interesting or beautiful. You can submit the weekly photos challenge in our Facebook group, or you can continue to submit images in our Instagram by using the hashtag #TinyShutter. And we use this as our album art. We use it as a way to showcase our listeners' beautiful images, and make our listeners a part of the show. So that is it with that.
Very cool. Hey, I have a Flickr update.
Ooh, go for it.
So it turns out that there must be a button that's you could click to join, and then you'll be pending until I approve you.
Very cool.
Yeah. So James Inglis, you have been accepted.
Yeah, I know when we mentioned the post pick of the week, he said, "Ah, robbed again."
Yeah. Well, it happens.
Yes. All right. Is there anything else that you want to talk about or bring up?
No, I think we're good. Everybody, just wear a helmet, and everything will be fine out there.
All right, well, let me play this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
You can check me out on Instagram, IM, and Twitter at mhoffmanphoto.
Awesome. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can also find me on Flickr. Let me pull it up. What is my Flickr account? Yeah. I don't want to go pro. Yeah, this is great. What is my Flickr account?
I don't remember. I don't have it in front of me.
Why do I have to click twice? All right. You can find me. Yeah, that's not going to work. Just look up Joseph Ferreira. I'm the one holding the 1940s iPhone. Yeah. Oh, I probably need to change that image. You can find the show, the show notes, the album art, the links to our Flickr group and Facebook group, and our email address by going to tinyshutter.com. All right, Matt, I think we are done.
All righty.
So why don't you say goodbye to everybody?
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Kowalski, what's our trajectory? 95% certain this will end in massive, flaming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.